This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. If you are the parent of a three-year-old and hear projections about the cost of college, well, 15 years from now, you probably have one of two reactions: pure panic or denial and refusal to deal with the news. Fortunately, there are other, better responses, and we are joined today by three people who have some practical suggestions. Financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors, Chris DeSimeo, contributing editor to Kiplinger Magazine and the author of Ask Kim, the column in Kiplinger's Personal Finance, Kimberly Langford, and financial planner with Foster and Motley, Luke Hale. If you would like to join the conversation, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. Listeners are reminded in this kind of show that the information is provided in today's show is general in nature and may not apply to their personal investment situations. You should always consult with your personal financial advisor before making any sort of investment. So, welcome everybody to Cincinnati Edition, and talking about cost of college scares the heck out of people. So, Chris, let's begin at the beginning. What is a 529 plan, and why is it called a 529 plan?
They cleverly named it after the section of the tax code.
I figured.
Right, that they'd run out of ideas. I'm not sure there's ever been an acronym attached to it, but that's what it was. It's been around about 20 years. It was a huge quantum leap, really, over other types of popular savings plans, which used to be the so-called Uniform Gifts to Minors Act, where you would set up an account in the name of a child, purchase shares of stock or mutual funds in those. The child would have to end up paying taxes in their own bracket. It triggered something called the kiddie tax. And then at the end, when Junior was 18 years old, if Junior did not want to go to college, it was just too bad. Mom and Dad had no legally didn't own that money anymore, so Junior could just take the money and go buy a Harley. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but Junior could. And so 529s were really designed to help address a lot of those problems, and they've become quite popular.
Kim, are there people that you advise, are there certain types of people that you advise having a 529 plan? And on the other side of that coin, are there people you advise maybe 529 plans aren't the best idea?
I think that everyone should contribute at least a little to a 529 plan. And I hear from so many readers who have misconceptions about the plans. The biggest thing is a lot of people assume that you need to go to college in your own state. And that's not the case. You can use it for colleges all over the country, no matter which state's plan you open up. You can use it for technical schools. You can even use it for some foreign colleges. It's all kinds of schools that are involved in the student aid program administered by the Department of Education. So it's pretty much any school that you think about. A lot of people also don't realize the tax benefits. You can use the money tax-free for tuition, room and board, even a computer, a lot of other expenses. And the new tax law just changed some of the rules. You can also use up to $10,000 per beneficiary per year for kindergarten through 12th grade expenses now. That's brand new this year. A lot of people don't realize that. And in fact, in many states, you can get a tax deduction for your contribution. Ohio has a really generous deduction of up to $4,000 per child each year for contributing to the plan. So there's a lot of benefits, and I think a lot of people, once they find out more about all the details of the rules, realize how easy it can be to set up and how much this can help them supplement some of those really, really expensive costs.
So what you're saying, though, is it's going to vary from state to state how they exactly operate, and therefore you really do need to talk to somebody so that you understand what's going on. Is that right?
Well, one key thing is that so many states, almost every state, offers a 529 plan, and you don't need to live in that state to contribute to that plan. In most cases, though, about two-thirds of the states offer a tax deduction for your contributions, and you generally need to open a plan in your own state in order to get that deduction. But for people whose states don't offer deduction, they've got the whole country out there, and they can choose based on what the investment options are, based on who's managing it, based on some other things like like, you know, ease of use and being able to make it easier for people to offer gifts to the plan. So really, first take a look if your state offers a state tax break, and then if it doesn't, that's when you really want to take a look at all the state's plans, because you really could open up a plan anywhere.
Luke, is 529 plans 529 plans, or are there varieties of 529 plans that you can or need to choose from?
529 plan, like Chris said, is really the title of the tax section that this comes from. And within that tax section are college savings plans, education plans like this, and there's other things too. There are things called ABLE accounts, which are available for people with disabilities that allow for them to save ahead and plan for expenses they may need. So it's not limited to just saving for college, or now, as of the first year, like Kim said, saving for primary school as well.
Yeah. And with the 529 and the ABLE accounts, Chip Gerhart here in Cincinnati was one of the leaders of that effort to allow parents and relatives to help save for people with some disabilities so that as they mature, they've got some resources when the parents die.
Yeah, without being disqualified from SSI.
Right. And that because there's very strict limits on how
very strict
how much you can save for a person. So 529 is sort of becoming more flexible, and therefore you need to talk to a financial advisor in order to choose what fits your needs.
Yeah. And there's a lot of nuance in there too. You know, leave it to people in the financial services world to take something simple and make it complicated. But when you get all the different states involved, this is this combination of both state and federal law. And so Ohio has a tax deduction. You can deduct, you can eliminate about $4,000 a year from your income per beneficiary. But Indiana has a tax credit. So it's in some cases better than a deduction but the nuance is, let's say you're sending Junior to kindergarten now. You put the money in. These were supposed to be long-term savings plans. You put the money in, take the credit for Junior, and then take the money right out again. So it's not without controversy, that latest little change that took place this year in January.
Well, Kim, assuming that you're not going to put it in, take it right back out, but you see this as an investment and more focused on paying for that college bill that's going to come up down the road. How much risk is there here? Are these invested in equities? Are these in the bond market? And is there anything guaranteed? Or are you at risk just like you are for any other account?
Well, what I really like about 529s is most plans have several options. Most plans let you invest, you know, in a variety of mutual funds. There may be some, you know, equity-based mutual funds, maybe some bond funds, maybe some fixed income funds. But they also tend to have age-weighted funds. And that's where the plan creates a portfolio, a diversified portfolio, based on the time frame of your investments. So if your child is going to be starting college, you know, about, you know, 10, 15 years from now, they'll have an age-weighted fund that's primarily in equities, may have some fixed income things to balance it out, but based really on your time frame. And then it gradually becomes more conservative as your time gets closer. And some funds also have a choice of risk-based portfolios that you can, you know, adjust on your own, but based on your risk tolerance. So they have a lot of different options, and they really do try to make it easy for families, whether they want to have a lot of activity in choosing of the investment, or if they want to be able to kind of step back and let the investment managers do most of the focus on that. And another key thing is that's when, if you are choosing from several different states' plans, you know, if for example, your state doesn't offer a state tax deduction and you want to look around, that's one of the things that we really look at is, what are those investments like? What are the fees like? How conservative does it get when you get closer to college? And that's where it can really vary from plan to plan.
So if I live in Ohio, can I have a 529 plan in someplace else, in another state? Is that what you're saying?
You can. can. I don't believe you get the Ohio deduction. There's only a handful of states that let you invest in another state's plan and get the state tax deduction. So generally, you would need to invest in your own state's plan to get the deduction. But states like California don't offer a deduction for contributions. And so residents of California could invest in any plan, aren't giving up a tax break, and really can just look at what the investments are, what the fees are, who the investment manager are. You know, some plans have a lot of, you know, low-cost funds from Vanguard and Fidelity and other, you know, brokerage firms that people may be already customers of and may want to choose one of those plans. So a lot of different options.
Luke, what's the potential impact when you fill out the FISA form? If you've been investing in a 529 plan and have some significant dollars in that plan, it's time for your child to apply for financial aid. What's the impact here?
It's less than it would be if the money were in the child's name themselves, but there is some impact. So it does impact your ability to get financial aid, but we tell people not to let that stop you from savings. People are under the wrong impression that there's going to be magic money that drops out of the sky when your kid's a senior in high school. And most of the time, that's just not true. And you're left scrambling if you haven't done good planning and looking for a solution. So don't let the possibility that you may be eligible for financial aid stop you from saving. Save often and save early.
Okay. What should grandparents do? Should they be investing in the 529 plan that the parents, their children have for the grandchildren, or should they be opening their own 529 plan for that grandchild? What's the right strategy, Chris?
Depends on where the grandchild lives and where grandma and grandpa live.
Okay. It's the answer to everything here.
Yeah. We've seen cases where the parents will set up 529 plans, but grandma and grandpa live out of state or work with someone else, and they set up 529 plans. So we've seen that. We've seen that a lot. So the grandparents might live in New York, or they might live in Indiana where they get a tax credit. They can set up an Indiana plan even though the beneficiary lives in Ohio. So it depends on where the donor lives.
Okay. And so what's the best way? Before we get to that question, one of the things that seems to be the situation is, even though these plans are out there, they make sense on lots of levels, there are a lot of people who aren't making use of them. They don't seem to be fully invested in, utilized. Why is that? Is it just people don't know about them? People are afraid of them? Kim, what do you think? Why aren't there more people using the 529 plans?
I think a lot of people don't understand how they work and how simple they can be. I do hear from so many people who still assume that you can only use it if you go to college in your own state. And they say, well, I don't know where my child's going to go to college, and don't realize that, you know, there are prepaid tuition plans that some states offer that you can use fully if you stay in your own state. But these 529 plans where you're saving your money and it's invested, tax-deferred, and can be used tax-free for college expenses can be used anywhere. So I think just that basic rule about where you can use that money and what you can use it for, a lot of people don't realize that. Also, they always worry what happens if their child doesn't go to college. And there are a lot of options if your child doesn't go to college. You can change the beneficiary to another sibling. You can keep the money in the account for an unlimited amount of time if they go to college later on or if they go to grad school. You can even change the beneficiary to another family member. Your child could ultimately, if they have their own children, change the beneficiary to them after their children are born. So there's just a lot of flexibility. Also, if you don't use it for college and want to take out all the money, you're going to have to pay taxes on the gains and a 10% penalty, but that's only on the earnings, not on the amount you contributed. So, you know, it's best to be able to use it for college expenses, but even if you don't, people aren't hit with as big a penalty as they think they might have.
So there are still, if I understood what Kim just said, there are still states that have plans where you can pay ahead for on the tuition or whatever expenses if you go to a state school in that state. Is that does Ohio do that? Does Kentucky, Indiana?
I think those plans, I'm not 100% sure, but I think those plans are still around, but very few people talked about them because they were based on a discount because of interest rates. And when interest rates fell to near zero, it just didn't become an, it wasn't something that made investment sense to do it. But it's now starting to become, you know, it's starting to get on more people's radar. A little, certainly more than it was a few years ago.
I think they used to be more popular than they are. I think.
Yeah, I didn't know they even existed
the
anymore.
The people that, the government entities that set them up assumed that rates of return would be higher than they actually were, and they kind of got burned, and they shut down new contributions. They allowed people that had already bought credits to maintain those credits, but they said, we're not going to let this happen again. We need to kind of turn off the faucet for new money going into them.
Some of them were assuming rates of return, guaranteeing a return that implied like 7 to 8%. This was way back in the day. And that's just not something that can be prudently done.
So even though—
There are some states that still offer them. But if you go to savingforcollege.com, you can look at the whole range of various prepaid plans as well as the 529 plans. And like they said, it's exactly right. When interest rates went down, a lot of plans, a lot of people who already had the plans had very, very valuable plans. But people who are coming in, either they cut it off for a while or they did, it cost a lot more to be able to get in and get the future tuition rates. So you really need to look at those calculations. But like I said, for people who had it in the past, some of them are, you know, their children are going to college now or end up being very valuable. So keep an eye on that if it comes and goes, especially as interest rates rise.
How much is, will any qualified financial counselor, advisor understand these plans? Are there some people in a firm that specialize more than others and therefore will understand these kinds of instruments better? How much do you have to be careful about who you're talking to?
I think there's a couple different kinds of awarenesses people need to happen, need to have as they explore this with their financial advisor. For instance, Ohio has a direct savings plan where there are no, the fees are very much minimized. Like Kim said, there are Vanguard funds available, which are very low cost. But then there's another side of that that has a little bit more expensive plans that are available in the not direct. So if you're willing to do it yourself, you're going to save a little bit of money. So they need to have that awareness. But 529s, for the most part, like Chris said, that they've been around for a while now. This should be basic blocking and tackling for a competent financial advisor.
Yeah. And as Kim mentioned, there are lots of resources, whether it's Kiplinger's or savingforcollege.com, that they have a lot of worksheets. For example, at savingforcollege.com, if you're wondering if a certain college even qualifies to have money spent at it, you can type the name of that college in there first and see if it qualifies. So, because not everyone wants to get a four-year degree in liberal arts, there's some people who might want to have more of a technical or mechanical education, and so it's important to know what schools qualify and what don't. And these are resources that used to be hard to find, and now it's very easy because of Kiplinger's and savingforcollege.com.
Well, Kim, one of the issues about the different types of colleges or post-secondary education opportunities are the for-profit institutions, which have become controversial because they have a higher rate of people dropping out before they graduate. They end up with a lot of debt and not a degree. Are, in your understanding, how broadly do – of course, you can go to the website and see, but how broadly do these various institutions qualify taking 529 plans?
Well, the key definition is whether the school is eligible to participate in the student aid program administered by the U.S. Department of Education. And so if they're eligible to participate, whether it's a vocational school or a four-year college or, you know, other eligible institutions, and like I said before, even many foreign colleges, then you can use the money there. And the Department of Education also has a great tool where you can look up colleges and see if they're eligible. And I think that's a wonderful idea, especially for people participating in colleges where they're not sure. You just want to make sure that that's an eligible expense if it's a college that you're not sure about. But a lot of people are pleasantly surprised and find out that it's true. You don't have to be necessarily in a 2 or 4 year college in order to be able to use the money.
Luke, Chris, do you have people coming in and asking about these latest twists on this and about being able to use it for preschool, elementary, high school? Are people coming in and asking you about that?
They are to some extent. We encourage people to save it for later on.
For long term.
Yeah. Try to pay the expenses associated with elementary school, primary school now out of your pocket. Put this stuff in there. Put your money in there. Let it grow and take advantage of the tax-deferred accumulation that's tax-free as long as it's used to pay for college.
We had a few people who were on top of it and asked, but as you pointed out in your introduction, Dan, this is one of the great unknown gold mines out there, and people just have to walk up and open the door and walk in because 529s are so valuable, and yet they're so underutilized.
So there's still a lot. Maybe after people go through the filling out the taxes this coming year, there may be a lot more awareness about all this. I'd like to thank Kimberly, Luke, and Chris DeSimeo, who, of course, is a frequent guest on Cincinnati Edition, for being with us today and talking about the 529 plans. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. Segment producer is Layla Shakui. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. The new president of the United Way spent one of his first days on the job meeting people in Cincinnati's homeless camps. Now, helping families rise out of poverty is one of his primary goals. On the next Cincinnati Edition, it's a struggle he knows firsthand. Plus, 65,000 people will be diagnosed with kidney cancer this year. The risk factors and new research Thursday on Cincinnati Edition at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.